You are listening to The Dr. Kinney Show, and I'm your host, Erin Kinney, a naturopathic doctor and speaker who's passionate about teaching you how to understand what is happening in your body, why your body is reacting the way it is, and how to make the appropriate changes in your life to get your body back into balance. Something I've learned from my private practice is that the more patients know about their health, the more likely they are to make better diet and lifestyle choices, which ultimately leads them to a faster recovery. Each week, you are going to learn actionable tips, tricks, and teachings from myself, along with the help of top experts in the holistic health community, so that you can make better informed decisions about your body and your healthcare. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Kinney Show. Today I have with me a really special certified nutritional practitioner whose name is Jas, and she specializes in bloat and antifungal cleansing. And we haven't done a topic on this or a podcast on this, so I'm really excited to have this conversation because so many people struggle with bloating and weird stuff, and sometimes it can be explained by either a candida overgrowth or a parasite infection. And so Jas is here to talk to us all about what she sees with her clients and patients. So thank you for being on the show, and I'd love to hear your story and how you got here, because I know that you've had a story. So let's hear it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the podcast, by the way, Erin. I'm so excited to talk about this. It's honestly like my favorite topic ever. So yeah, I actually got into nutrition because I had a past of migraines and headaches when I was pretty much at the age of 8 up until the end of university, and it would come and go. And then when I was in university, it was getting worse and worse. And so I was always just like getting prescribed antidepressants, anti-anxiety medication, because they were apparently going to help with my migraines. And it never really made anything better at all. It just made my anxiety worse. And it definitely made my candida so much worse. I think candida is something that I have been struggling with for so long. And obviously with these antibiotics, with the antidepressants and everything like that, it was definitely making it a lot worse. But I feel like so that's kind of how I got into nutrition, is I got to a point where I was so over getting tested, getting a bunch of random medication that was never helping. And so I started to look into magnesium, into the foods I was eating, and made a total lifestyle and diet change. But I feel like my story with antifungal didn't really start until I was just finishing school for holistic nutrition. And so I pretty much got food poisoning on my birthday. And right after that, it was the worst food poisoning I've ever gotten. Like I couldn't even talk without getting so sick. And so tracing it back, it ended up being a sister bacteria of Salmonella. And so it was really intense. But it's also important to note that even the smallest bit of food poisoning, or even no food poisoning at all, can still lead to a parasite and candida infection. And so anyways, after that, I started to get a cold literally the day after. Didn't really think too much about it. I just kind of thought it was the end of summer transitioning into fall. I thought that it was just kind of normal. And then I started to get skin issues, and it was all around my mouth. And it started really small and started to get progressively worse. And for someone who has never dealt with skin issues, it was super concerning because I've never seen this before on my face. And yeah, I was in huge denial that it was parasitic, because I was so nervous and so anxious about just the idea of having parasites. And so I didn't do a parasite cleanse for 4 to 6 months. It got worse and worse until I actually ended up cleansing. It took me 3 to 4 months to clear my skin. And since then, it has been a total life change. Like, it's been a complete life changer for me. Like, overall, it's just been incredible. And with all the clients that I've helped through perioral dermatitis, bloat, any kind of skin rashes, it's been incredible to see the difference with doing an antifungal cleanse.
So it's a crazy story. And I feel like so many people who help others, we all come to this helping others by we've gone through the process ourselves. So thank you for sharing your story. I'm curious, did you do any testing, or did you just go off? Like, did you do, because parasite testing can be, it's tricky. It's very hard to catch parasites. And I
struggle with this sometimes in my practice. I sometimes will just treat for parasites because like they've got all the symptoms, and oftentimes we'll test for parasites and it keeps coming up negative because the way that the life cycle of parasites work, which I'm sure as you know, they're not always going to come out in the stool. So it's hard. So did you do any testing in all of this time, or did you just go straight to treatment?
So I did a live blood cell analysis. Okay. And it's still, have you done one before?
No, I actually have not done that before. So I'm curious to hear about it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, so basically the practitioner will just prick your finger and take a tiny sample of your blood, and you can actually take a look to see if there's candida, mold, parasites, congestion in the liver, the gallbladder. Depending on the sample, you can see hormone levels and everything like that. So it's incredible. Really, really cool. It's just really cool to like actually visualize it. And so that's what I did. Although, yeah, as you said, like with parasites, the best way to like test for it is just through symptoms, because honestly, all of us have them. And for the most part, I mean, parasites to a certain extent can be healthy for us because they help to fight off certain inflammation and kind of act as this like signal for our bodies to say like, hey, something's going on. But for the most part, most of us are at that place where we're chronically bloated, we have joint pain, we have skin issues, skin rashes, and we kind of just continue putting this Band-Aid on it. So I always say to my clients, like, if you want to go get a test done because you just want to visualize it and see it, absolutely. But the best way to do it is just through symptoms. And if I did do it through symptoms, I would have started the cleanse months ago. Mm-hmm. But I had like, I was like, no, I need to see it visually. And so,
well, I want to ask you what was in your cleanse, but I also just want to bring up the point that oftentimes what, so that our listeners understand why parasites can cause some of these kind of seemingly unrelated, you know, so you think parasite and you think, oh, crazy diarrhea. It doesn't always manifest like that. And typically what's happening is, as you said, there are some parasites, just like there are some good guy bacteria, you know, we have a whole microbiome living inside of us. And some of those include certain parasites, but some of those parasites shouldn't be there, and they can affect the lining of our digestive tract. So they can lead to leaky gut. Sometimes they can trigger Hashimoto's, they can trigger other autoimmune conditions, which is why it can upregulate fatigue, it can cause joint pain, and it can cause a lot of the weird skin rashes can come from parasites because of how the parasites are affecting the lining of the digestive tract. So that's kind of how, I mean, there are crazy parasites that you can pick up in foreign countries that will actually get into your liver and get, and some of them can do that as well, where you can have, yeah. So there's some parasites can be wacky, and some of them can get into your heart. Some of them can get, but they can sometimes be, and there are some weird where you can use parasites as treatment for certain things. Like some parasites that can go and they can clean up certain things, or they can, I have a colleague, he practices here in Maryland, I'm forgetting his name, but he will sometimes use, there is a parasite treatment where you can eat a certain type of parasite and it can actually cure you from celiac. It will actually change.
What?
Or from gluten, maybe not celiac, but from gluten sensitivity. It can actually, I'm going to follow up with that on another episode where I get more details about that, but that just hit my mind. And I can't remember the doc's name, but we had the con, and he's like, do you want to be a guinea pig? And I said, no, I'm not quite sure I want to try that, but you can use them. Much like sometimes certain viruses activate certain things that are beneficial in treating cancer versus, so, you know, these different bugs. But so I'm curious, that's kind of a whole other thing, but I'm curious what's in the cleanse that you've done. What is it? Is it mostly antiparasitic? Does it have some gut healing stuff? What is your favorite way to cleanse?
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into it. I've done cleanses where, so with my clients, like I will say a parasite cleanse is pricey. Like you have to go into it knowing that it's not going to be cheap because you're buying supplements, you're buying really good quality food, and your lifestyle itself is just going to be a little bit different. And so for someone like myself and for you, like that's, we're used to investing in ourselves and we're used to putting our health first. But for those who are still not convinced that parasites are the issue or that, you know, like they have a budget and they want to stay in it. So I do my absolute best to stay in that budget. But that when someone's like, I don't care, like I just need to get this out, it's always the best because you can really put so much effort into not only killing these parasites and getting them out, but really nourishing the body from a whole. So I do a lot of gut healing during the parasite cleanse. And so just in terms of supplements with parasites, especially, I use like black walnut hulls. Okay. I'm not sure if you've heard of Genestra. You guys have that in the US, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I use their black walnut combo. That one's amazing. So I use that specifically to like kill the parasites and to just minimize the, like, the thing is with parasites, you need to go slow and steady. I feel like, I don't know if you've seen this, but there's so many articles now saying that all you have to do is a 7-day parasite cleanse. Like if you come back from the Dominican, you just need 7 days. Whereas,
but sometimes they might still be in their egg cycle. That you need to give them a full, at least a month, exactly. right? I mean, I would say at least minimum a month. Typically, I would say 3 months, right? How long do you treat?
Yeah. So, and like, that's the thing. It really depends with each person. So for myself, when I had that really bad food poisoning, that was 3 years ago. I am still dealing with the issue.
Huh.
And so I mean, if I wanted to cleanse for 12 months, I probably could just get rid of it. But for me, that's just like, it's hard. Like it's really hard on your mental health. And so I will cleanse a few times per year. And to be honest, I really like doing it this way. And yeah, some people just need to cleanse for 6 weeks. For the most, like majority of people, I would say 2 months minimum though.
Yeah.
But again, like I know a lot of people who, whether they're friends or my clients, who have been cleansing for like 6-8 months, because it's not like they're the hardest things to get out of the body. They're so much smarter than we are.
Yeah.
So it's also really important to, so if you're like, for example, using the black walnut combo, you need to change that supplement up every 3 months to a different supplement, because they're going to get,
they get smarter.
They are so smart. So it really depends. I think have you ever done a cleanse?
I have done a parasite cleanse before a while when I was in school. What I was going to bring up is that, and we can talk about that in a minute, but that what I think the reason why it takes so long, because it can take a long time to kill chronic viruses and sometimes certain types of recurrent bacteria, people get recurrent UTIs but it takes a long time because, and I like that you're doing like nourishing the gut as well, because essentially you want to kill the pathogen, whatever it is, the bacteria, the virus, or, you know, a parasite, but you also want to change the pH or the environment in which they're living. And if it's a really nice environment, like if your gut pH is slightly off, but it's off in a way that allows it to be a nicer host for that parasite, it's going to be harder to get rid of it. So that's why the diet changes and the lifestyle things are so, and then you have to do that for months at a time so that your body doesn't slip back into that pH or that environment that's conducive for the parasite to live. And this is, like I said, this is the truth. This is kind of how we go about treating any sort of thing that's living in the body that shouldn't be there, right? You have to make sure that the body is no longer a happy place for them to be. So, and usually that means getting us back to a good, you know, pH of around 7.4. If you go slightly above that or slightly below that, we become a nicer place for these things to live. Or I will say that I treat a lot of thyroid issues, and I've done a few episodes on thyroid stuff. If your body temperature is not regulated properly because your thyroid is off, like if your body temperature runs at 96 or 97, you're going to be a nicer place for any of these pathogens to live. And so, you know, doing the diet changes and those things to increase your, you know, your basal metabolic or basal temperature rate can affect this as well.
Totally. I was actually just going to say, there's a lot, I've been seeing this a lot lately, a lot of issues with parasites in the thyroid.
Yes.
Like it's something that I feel like a lot of people don't, again, like I don't think we talk about fungal cleanses at all. Like
it's because it's tricky to test for. And I think, and what we touched on earlier is that sometimes you just have to go and treat. And I find it's not often the first thing that I'm treating, because typically I'm testing for other things and there's other things for me to go after. But if people aren't responding, you know, if I'm treating them for, you know, Epstein-Barr virus or Lyme or something like that, and we've kind of conquered those things and they're still not getting better, then it's like, you know, we could spend the money on, and there are specialty parasite tests out there that occasionally I will, you know, find that I can actually detect them. But sometimes we have to test 3 or 4 times, and I typically will recommend testing on the full moon. I don't know if, like, because they usually come out then, but you usually have to test multiple times in order to catch it. And sometimes we do catch it, but sometimes we don't. And if, you know, if you live on a farm or if you've got travel history, if you eat a lot of sushi, I mean, you don't really have to have those. But if you do have those, then it's extra cause to believe, hey, there might be a parasite. Right.
Yeah.
So then you kind of just go. And so I think that's why that it's not talked about as often, is it's not tested for as often. And sometimes it's hard, you know, if a patient's not seeing, oh my gosh, I have this thing living in me, it's hard for them to even want to look for that information, you know? But exactly. I do think you're right. I think that it needs to be talked about more. And there is more research coming out that some of these parasites are triggering autoimmune type disorders.
Yeah, exactly. I actually, when I had my skin conditions, I went to the doctors and he was like prescribing a steroid cream for me. And then I was like, well, like what it, like, I just feel like it's a parasite or it's candida. Do you think it'd be helpful if I did a cleanse? And he was like, oh no, like I don't believe in that stuff. Like it's, I would never recommend something like that. And then 3 or 4 months later, I came back and my skin was completely clear. And so that's not to say that that's the doctor's fault at all, but it's because we just don't talk about it. Like we're constantly using, you know, like steroid creams as the band-aid. And yeah, I like the amount of DMs I get from women saying, I have perioral dermatitis, I use the steroid cream and it was good for 2 weeks and now it's back and it's worse. And it's again, because you're creating this more, like you're creating an even stronger acidic environment for the parasites to thrive.
Yeah.
So it's pretty crazy. But just a question, do you have a favorite parasite testing kit to use?
So I use Genova Labs. I don't know if you guys have that in
your area, right? I'm going to look into it. Genova.
So they do all kinds of comprehensive stool testing. And so I will typically run a comprehensive stool analysis. And in that it has a full parasite. They'll break down like what your flora looks like. So you can test for dysbiosis. You can test for candida. You can look for leaky gut. I like that lab because a lot of my patients' insurance will cover at least a portion of it. It's still, again, a lot of the testing, and that can be sometimes another barrier to getting the answers, is I would always rather my patients spend the money on their treatment protocols. If someone comes in with very clear parasite symptoms, you know, and I don't really want them to spend $500 on a test that may or may not come back positive. I'd rather them put that money towards the diet change, the supplement change, you know, and I think most practitioners feel the same way. We want our patients to get better. So I like that lab because it doesn't work with every insurance, but they will take some insurances. The cost burden becomes less. And then patients have more, you know, in their budget to spend towards actually the protocol that's going to make them feel better. But I was going to say that, you know, if you're struggling with perioral dermatitis, that's a pretty strong indicator. And if it's not food related, because sometimes it can be directly related to, you know, some sort of food allergy. But if you've ruled that out, you know, anything around the mouth, that's the direct entry point to your whole digestive tract. So typically that's where that's where they first get in and like to hang out. If you've got any like anal itching or like that can be a really common symptom. Itching, especially, I think, anywhere, right?
Anywhere. Yeah. And especially at nighttime, I feel like a lot of people, so even like with parasites, they are so much more active at night. So for those who are constant, I have a friend actually who was saying like, I think I have parasites because I'm waking up every night and itching my skin. Or I had another client who only at night she would get a skin rash, which was crazy. So like during the day she was completely clear, but at night she would wake up and she'd go to the bathroom and her skin, like there was a massive rash. So it's just crazy to think that like you want to be very mindful of things that are happening when you're going to bed, especially waking up at night and not being able to fall asleep. Yes, that could be blood sugar concerns, but for the most part, again, like I really think that parasites and candida are something that all of us are struggling with, and we haven't heard enough about it to make those connections. So if you're constantly hungry and you are balancing your blood sugar levels, but you're waking up at night, parasites, like I always say this, like when I'm cleansing and I'm like, oh, I'm having a sugar craving, I'm like, it's not me, it's the parasites, like I'm not feeding you. And we're constantly thinking we're craving sugar, but it's really what's going on inside. Like
it's your gut flora.
We weren't designed to crave sugar 24/7. It truly is a symptom, and we need to look into that.
Yeah. So, all right. So you've talked about sugar cravings, which I think that's a big one. I think that I really like that you brought that up, especially if you're someone who's eating a pretty healthy, managing your lifestyle well, and you're still craving sugar like crazy, that's a good indicator that there's some sort of something growing in your digestive tract that shouldn't be there. the perioral dermatitis, what weird skin rashes that change versus day and night? What other symptoms are you seeing a lot in the women that you're, or the patients that you're working with?
Yeah. So another one just to like with skin is eczema. Like I like with skin rashes and everything, I've had a ton of clients with eczema and we've done a cleanse and they don't suffer with eczema anymore. And it was a long cleanse, I will say, because we have to remember too, like the skin is our largest detox organ. When you're seeing stuff come up on your skin, it's really your body's last resort. It means the liver is basically filled with toxins. Like the lymph is not detoxing enough, so it's coming out of your skin, which means in turn, when you're cleansing, it's the last thing that's going to clear up. And I actually just had someone message me and she was asking how long it took me to clear my skin. And she was like, I'm just nervous to give myself 4 months. And I was like, if you start now, 4 months is going to go by. But like, if you constantly put it off because it sounds too long, like you're going to have to go for longer. And so eczema, I really would say like, take a look and see if you have more symptoms because it really is a huge concern. Mm-hmm. Anything that happens at night, like we said, so anal itching, so, so common. And I think that's one that like a lot of us are like embarrassed to admit, but so many of us do suffer with that. What other, just like constant, like always having to eat, feeling like you have ate a huge meal, but you're still so hungry. Bloating is a huge one. If you've tried everything and you're still getting bloated, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the diet that you're eating. It might be, again, what you're hosting in the body. Yeah. Now I'm like blank. Oh, joint.
That's okay. Joint pain.
Joint pain is a huge one. I actually, when I first started cleansing, I used to work out and I was lifting really heavy. And I think it was like 6 months after, within the, like when I had food poisoning, my knees were really bothering me. 2 months into the cleanse, I had zero joint pain. And so it really just goes to show like you are reducing all that inflammation. And because parasites really like to hide in your joints because it's hard to get them out of there. And it's a dark, nice place for them to hide. So
yeah, so that's a great list. And I love that you brought up, and I've talked about this on other episodes, that the skin is usually the last thing to heal because our bodies tend to heal from the inside out. So, you know, when you go on any sort of cleanse and a parasite or yeast candida cleanse, you're killing the pathogen and then typically you're rebuilding and healing the gut. And then the body will heal kind of from that way. So sometimes the skin, sometimes it clears up quickly. It depends on how long and where you are in your journey, but sometimes the skin can be the last. Or, and I don't know if you've seen this before, but I see this in a lot of my patients that they come in and they've got bloating, joint pain, fatigue, and no matter what's causing it, whether it's a parasite or something else, as they get better, they may, right before they feel totally better, they may get a skin flare. And that's because the body's like, it's pushing something out at the end. So skin, you know, if the skin is the only thing you're dealing with sometimes that, and you don't have any of the other internal symptoms, that usually will clear pretty quickly. But if you've got all the internal symptoms plus skin, just know that typically the skin is the last to heal. Not in every case, but that's a typical progression. So, and it can be frustrating because that's what you see and you're like, why isn't my skin better? But usually you'll start to feel better internally first, which is a good sign and a good progression.
Exactly. And another one too, that's very common is bad breath.
Yeah.
That one's very, very common with parasites and candida, because again, like you mentioned, everything starts with the mouth. Like you're taking this in, whether it's like your diet, lifestyle, like the start of our digestion is a lot of people say is scent. So when you're smelling food, that's really the start of digestion, but the start of like pathogenic consumption is your mouth. So I think doing things like oil pulling, tongue scraping just goes a long, long way.
Oh yeah. To change the pH in your mouth. Cause if the pH in your mouth is going to be healthier, you're not going to allow some of those pathogens to come in. Yeah, oil pulling is a cool practice. It's you gotta like get used to it and a lot of time for it, but it can be really beneficial. And so tongue scraping, that's literally just like using, I don't recommend that one as often. Is that just using a toothbrush on the back of your tongue?
Yeah, so you can actually get like, I just purchased mine from the health store and it's just like, it's actually called a tongue scraper.
Oh.
And so as soon as you wake up, you just want to scrape your tongue a few times, just go really far back and all the way to the bottom. And you'll notice like there's a lot that comes off the tongue scraper. And then after that, you can go into oil pulling. But I always say this as well, do not, I know we're so used to hearing this, but don't drink water as soon as you wake up. You have to brush your teeth or have like a really nice oral care. Because if you're waking up and drinking water, all of the bacteria, the fungus, potential mold, candida that's been building up in your mouth is just going to get flushed right down to the digestive system.
Oh, I never even thought about it. So if you're breathing stuff in and you're, so if you're a mouth breather, especially if you snore and you're opening your mouth and you're breathing stuff in, oh, that's a really good, thank you for that. That's a good tip. I'm going to start practicing myself. I drink water first thing in the morning. I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm going to stop doing that.
I know it's honestly crazy. Like I learned this when I was going like super heavy into the parasite cleansing because of my issues. It's super interesting. Like, and another thing I would recommend as well is if you are getting used to like a holistic oral hygiene kind of routine, aloe vera, I think it's the inner leaf aloe vera is really nice to like, use. To use as like your mouthwash.
Ah, oh, that sounds like a nice thing to what? So you'd recommend when you first wake up, brush your teeth or just rinse your mouth? What's your?
I would say so. As soon as you wake up, go into the bathroom, tongues. So this is a long
tongue scrape. What's the best thing to do?
Okay, so wake up, go and tongue scrape. As soon as you do that, oil pull. So start oil pulling right away. When I'm cleansing, I'll actually mix the coconut oil with a little bit of activated charcoal so that it really pulls out a ton of toxins. I try to oil pull for at least 10 to 15 minutes. It's actually really nice because I use this time to like, if I'm going to the office, prep my lunch for the day, just like do little things, shower, dry brush. It really gives, it's funny because you have that time, but oil pulling just makes you feel like you have more time. So wow. I really use it to its advantage and I'll just do a bunch of stuff that I typically wouldn't do if I was rushing. And so after that, make sure to spit in the garbage pail or the garbage pail or the toilet, just because you don't want to clog the sink. And then from there, brush your teeth and then rinse with aloe.
Ah, okay. So for those of my listeners who don't know what oil pulling is, could you give us a little brief? Because some people listening might have never heard of oil pulling before. So let's get
I know it's so, every time I say it, someone's always like, wait, what is that? It's funny because it's so normal to us, but I always have to take myself back and be like, okay, take the 30 seconds to explain it to someone because it just goes a long way. So oil pulling is essentially taking like a very nutrient dense oil. So coconut oil works best, and really just swishing it around your mouth for at least, if you really want to get benefit from it, at least 10 to 15 minutes. When you're starting out, you can do 5 minutes, because I remember the first time my boyfriend tried it out, he was doing it and took a piece of paper and wrote, "This is gross." And then we were just like writing, I was like, it's good for you, keep going. And it's such a weird consistency, but it really does pull a ton of toxins. With that fat content, it really helps to get into your gums, into the teeth where you typically can't get into with flossing, and just pulls a bunch of toxins out.
And coconut oil is also really antiviral, antifungal. It has really great, you were just about to say that. But also, the other thing it does is it helps to heal your gum lining. It's really good for just the overall lining of your mouth, which is again the first barrier to coming into the digestive tract. So sorry I interrupted you.
No, it's all good. And it's so true. Like it's amazing for your oral health. And it's also, if you guys are really interested in trying it, it's really good for naturally whitening your teeth. It truly makes a huge difference. So it's just amazing for you. It really helps to pull those toxins out, and candida especially gets stuck into like food cavities. And so you want to make sure that you're taking that candida out of your system safely. And coconut oil is very high in caprylic acid, which really helps to break down candida safely.
That's awesome. So do you have a coconut oil brand that you like? I mean, there's tons of brands. And do you get the one that's already liquid when you do it? Or do you use coconut oil?
Yeah, honestly, I don't have a favorite coconut oil. I use like traditional or organic traditions. I think that's what it's called. So really just any coconut oil, obviously making sure that it's in a glass jar.
Okay. Yes.
I can find a glass, a dark glass jar that's like perfect, but it's hard to find. I don't know if you have a favorite one, but no, I typically just use the solid one, to be honest. I kind of feel like I can break it down better. With solid.
So that's just for listening, coconut oil will either come and it's usually sometimes it's solid at room temperature, or you can get a fractionated coconut oil where they've changed it slightly so it's actually a liquid at room temperature. But as soon as you put the coconut oil into your mouth, it will, you know, your body will heat it up and then it will turn into an oil. It is a little bit of a weird texture, though. You put it in, you're like, this is strange.
Yeah, I know, and it feels like, but then when you spit it out, like your mouth feels so clean. It's so nice. By the way, do you know if there's a difference between like the fractionated coconut oil? Like, do they do something different in the process? Or
they just change some of the, some of the fatty acid chains so that it's liquid. So typically they're changing the saturation of it because coconut oil is a saturated fat, which is why it's solid at room temperature. So it doesn't actually affect the antiviral nature of it. It's not affecting any of that. So I don't think it would be too much of a difference. It's a lot easier to find, and I think it's cheaper to get it in the, you know, in its solid saturated form.
Right. Exactly. I know, like the one thing I don't like about coconut oil is when I'm cooking with it and the recipe asks for it to be liquefied. I'm like,
yes.
Other stuff. But otherwise I really like it. I also use it for just like a hair mask, and I find it's so incredible. I mean, you want to be careful and not use too much, but coconut oil is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. So we've got get up in the morning, do the tongue scraping, the oil pulling. And I like how you have added that into your, that's when you do some prep time. You could, I mean, you could also sit and journal while you did that. You could meditate. You could have that be a very special self-care, you know, you're cleansing your body, your mouth. You could also be doing some mind cleansing, do a brain dump. So that's a nice morning routine that you've got going on. And then brush your teeth and then rinse with aloe. So that's kind of your prep. That's a great tip for all our listeners.
Yeah. And then also for anyone who is a mouth breather at night, make sure to swish with the aloe right before bed, because it will help to break up any kind of plaque, especially if you're a mouth breather. You are like, you're so much more susceptible to plaque. And of course, with plaque comes a ton of bacteria.
Cavities and all kinds of other hosts of other issues.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. So, okay, we're about at time. Where can people find you? And if they're interested in learning more about parasite cleansing and how you work with people, where's the best place? Instagram or website or?
Yeah, both. I would say, so Instagram is nourishwithjas, and then website is just nourishwithjas.com as well.
Awesome. And you work with people, you do have a program, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So if you are interested in doing like a self-paced parasite cleanse, I actually have an ebook on it. It's super, super in depth, as well as if you purchase it, you have my support through email, because it's not an easy cleanse and I just want to make sure you're doing it safely. So you are more than welcome to send me email updates, anything like that. But then I also have a membership, which has a ton of, there's hours and hours of videos about parasites, candida, gut health, bloating, constipation. It's really your all-in-one source to get to the root cause of your conditions and really just be the advocate of your own health.
That's awesome. Well, everyone, please go and check out her stuff on Instagram, check out her website. And if you're interested in doing a cleanse, go check it out. And yeah, thank you so much for being here. This was really informative. I'm so glad to have had you. And to everyone else, I'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you enjoyed this conversation, be sure to connect with me over on Facebook at Dr. Kinney MD and Instagram at Dr. Kinney to find more helpful tips and information. As always, you can find all of the links and information mentioned in this episode at drerinkinney.com/podcast. See you next week.